for this was that we weren't going to stay in the parsonage, so we were going to just open our house and just think of it as an extension of the church. And I encourage you as well to allow your house to be an extension of the church, to welcome people in and allow it to be a place where you minister. So, awesome. If I haven't met you before, my name's Jason. I'm the Hunsinger House. This is my wife, Haley, and we are pastoring here, and I'm excited about what's going on. I'm excited about some of the movement. This morning's going to be one of those mornings, you guys. It's going to be one of those mornings for me. I'm feeling the emotional move of the Spirit this morning. Woke up early to come here and pray, and Prague walked in on me. I felt like I was doing something wrong, but I was like, no, I'm just praying and worshiping. Prague, good morning. I was worshiping to a song about praying for our generations and praying for the favor of the Lord to rest on our generation from generation to generation to generation. And when I start talking about my kids or when I start thinking about my kids, I get extra emotional. And that's where this one kind of starts this morning. We are in a series on the minor prophets. We've gone through a few of them. This morning we're going to look at the prophet of Jonah. And this week, I don't know if you guys have a routine with your kids, if you have kids, but my kids and I, we have a routine when we get ready to go to bed where I'll lay down with them, we'll sing a song, and we'll pray. I do it every night, unless they're having a sleepover or something like that. I don't want to embarrass them or with their friends that might not be comfortable with it, but when it's just me and the kids or my wife and the kids, we'll lay down, and before we go to bed, sing. Usually it's Silent Night. It's not just a Christmas song. You can sing that song all year long, and it never gets old or never gets boring. So we'll sing Silent Night, and then we'll pray. And I had a conviction this last week during one of our prayer times of this is how my children are going to learn how to pray, is by demonstrating to them what it means to have a conversation with God. And most of the time, I'll jump right in and start praying, God bless my children, enlarge their hearts with a capacity to love, and praying all the things that I want for them. And I had a conviction in this prayer time this last week of prayer is more about listening than it is about speaking. And so I tried to teach them that when we go to God in prayer and we're starting to pray to Him, we also have to be intentional about taking that time to allow Him to speak over us and speak words of truth into our lives. And I was thinking about the prophets, because the prophets, each one that we've looked at so far, has had to spend an intentional time hearing from God in order to communicate the message that God was giving to them. And so we laid there for, I don't know how long it was, but until God spoke to us. And He did. And it's good for the children to realize, and for us to realize, that God is still speaking to us today. And the word that He spoke to me in this moment was peace. And I've been stressed out. I don't know why. I've been so stressed out the last few weeks. And I laid there and I felt this overwhelming sense of peace. And I said, did you guys hear that? And they're like, I didn't hear anything, but I felt it. And they knew the same kind of peace. It was a peace where you could lay there and nothing else in the world mattered. Everything had passed passed away, where the only thing that mattered in that moment was us sitting before or laying before God, saying, God, speak to us. And He spoke words of love. And we were His children just sitting in the presence of God. I want to encourage us as we continue to look at the story of Jonah to have periods of time in our lives where we are sitting there listening to God, allowing Him to speak to us. Jonah did this. Jonah was one of those prophets, and for many of you, if you grew up in church or you've listened to children's stories, you've heard the story of Jonah, but I want to kind of retell it this morning, maybe from a different perspective. If you've heard of the story of Jonah, one of the major things that tends to stand out is his three-day hiatus in the belly of a fish, or a large fish, or some people say a whale, but sometimes most likely whales are not in the Mediterranean Sea, so it's most likely some kind of large fish. But I want to give the setting here for a second. Jonah was one who was listening to the Lord and was a mouthpiece, a prophet, to speak the words of God that was given to him. And he existed in this area right in here near Jerusalem. And when God spoke to him, he said, go over here to Nineveh. Right? His initial response was, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't like those people. I don't like what they represent. Instead, I'm going to run from God. And he came up here to a port city called Tarshish, and he hopped on a boat, and he headed out into this area, somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea. That's where we're going to pick up the story today. I want you to get into the narrative of this story. Okay? Imagine that you are a fisherman. You're a fisherman that is on the same boat that Jonah is on. Okay, I'm gonna try to narrate this as if I were that fisherman. Okay, I've been out fishing. I've gone onto choppy seas, and we've gone into storms, and we've gone out for long periods of times. We've gone into unpredictable seasons, and unpredictable seas. I've seen the storms roll in. I've cast my fishing rod out and caught massive amounts of fish. We've thrown our nets and we've pulled in fish after fish after fish. But that day, when Jonah stepped on that boat, something was different. There was a heaviness in the air. And I remember I talked to Jonah. I can picture these fishermen. They're talking to Jonah. They're getting to know each other on this boat as they get ready to go out to fish that day. And there was something off about Jonah. Jonah had heard from the Lord previously that he was supposed to go to Nineveh, to a city in the opposite direction. But he confessed as we were talking that he was running from God. He had heard the voice of God, and he had turned and gone a different direction. As we went out to the Mediterranean Sea, the winds grew stronger, and they started blowing the boat. We were rocking back and forth, and we started asking, what is this power that is attacking us today? Panic began to set in amongst the crew, and we desperately sought out a divine inspiration. All of us started praying to our different gods. God, you God of the sea, God of the land, God of the sky, calm the seas, protect us this day. And amidst the chaos, I noticed Jonah. His face was pale, and he had fear, but he was sleeping. He was sleeping underneath the boat, and I started to wonder, how can this man be so peaceful yet so afraid at the same time? So we went to wake him, and we asked him, do you know what is going on? Have you prayed to your God? And he confessed, I am the reason why the seas are the way they are. He knew he was to deliver a message to Nineveh, and God was directly pinpointing him and saying, you are going in the wrong direction. And Jonah knew it. Jonah knew he was fighting against God. He knew he was going in rebellion against God, and the storm raged on. And we realized that Jonah's disobedience was the cause of calamity, and we feared the wrath of the God that he worshipped because we saw his power over all the sky and the land and the sea. So we started searching for an answer. What do we do? What do we do about this man? Hoping to appease God, we threw Jonah overboard. And instantly, the skies became calm. And we watched as this giant fish came up to our boat and captured him in this giant mouth. Jonah was gone. But we were at peace. And the seas were calmed. Jonah had hit the water, and this miraculous event I'd never seen before had happened. We lost a man that day. I decided to take some time once we got back into shore to go back to my hometown of Nineveh. I wanted to go and see my family that resided there. And I remember going back to the city that I knew, and I had heard that this man, Jonah, who was on our boat, had popped up on sea. The fish that had captured him didn't kill him. He didn't die. But 3 days later, he showed up on the beach. And I heard that he was coming to the city of Nineveh. To our astonishment, Jonah came to Nineveh to carry the words that God had given to him. And I remember hearing that he is preaching that something was going to happen to the city. And I wrote down his words. He said, "Arba'im, owa yawahim wani ninwa nepaket." He said, "Arba'im, owa yawahim wina ninwa nepaket." That's Hebrew. For 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. What does this mean? What does this mean? Nineveh will be overturned. Is this the message that Jonah had brought to the city? I contemplated his words for days. That's all he spoke. All he said was, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. What's the response of the city going to be? I started thinking. I looked around and I watched as different people listened to this message that Jonah was speaking to our city, and this was the response that I saw. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. Our king is listening to the words of this man. In fact, he's not just listening to the words, he is taking into full account that this God that destroyed this, or that turned the seas into this raging storm, is now got his sights set on us. And the king took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. If my king is willing to listen to this man about what God can do to me, what should my response be? If this man of power, who has all control over this gigantic city of over 120,000 people, which was massive in that day, is willing to take off his royal robes and submit himself to God, what should my response be? When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God turned his wrath from the people, and we were saved. From that day forward, Jonah's story served as a testament to the power of obedience and the importance of embracing God's will and his boundless depths of mercy. It was a story I'll never forget, a story that would continue to inspire and challenge me to seek God's guidance in all the displays in my own life. I can only imagine the people of Nineveh and their response. If a fisherman were to have sat with Jonah and seen this whole story unfold, what the response would have been. I was talking to Billy this morning. We were talking about sort of the current condition of the Large C Church. I work in Stockton as a high school math teacher, and day after day I see corruption, I see sin, I see lawlessness, I see pain, heartache, and even the believers there, I see struggling, I see hurt. originally when I had thought about Stockton and my call to be there as a teacher, I pictured myself walking to a city sort of like Gomorrah, one that was, if you know the biblical story, completely destroyed. That I didn't see much righteousness. I didn't see, I'm still seeking for people in this city that passionately love and follow Jesus, and they're few and far between. I want to view Stockton, Manteca, Tracy, wherever it is that you work, Lathrop, Ripon, Modesto, wherever it is that you're at, more as a city like Nineveh than like a city like Gomorrah. I feel like God is moving in a way within us where he's calling us back to full obedience to him. That there has been a disobedience in going the way that we may go because it's more comfortable. I tried a little experiment this morning just to give you a little taste of discomfort by removing the back row in this room to push everybody forward a little bit more. So we're forced to sit next to each other and possibly get a little more discomfortable for the sake of fellowship, for the sake of knowing each other, for the sake of the gospel. And this is what God is doing. I believe God is doing these sorts of things in our lives and in our church to make us uncomfortable so that we have to rely more on him. I believe the Spirit is moving and he's working in people's lives right now, in the church right now, and he's calling us back to a full obedience to his word, to prayer, to fellowship, to being the church that's fully devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, and gathering together. There's three things that I want to pull out from this story. We should embrace the unexpected. Embrace the unexpected and realize that God provides. Embrace the unexpected. Jonah teaches us the importance of embracing unexpected circumstances in our life and finding purpose in them. I pulled up a list of some of the most unexpected events that we might be experiencing in our lifetime. We all went through one of them, COVID, right? We all went through a pandemic that was unexpected. We're still continuing to go through unexpected events that happen. Economic uncertainty, if you've ever lost a job. I know we went through this about 6 years ago when we stepped away from being in full-time ministry, not knowing what God's plan was for us, but God provides. It could be mental health issues that we can't control. It could be identity theft was one of them. I don't know if you've ever had to go through that, but that's unexpected and painful. Political and social unrest, disasters and emergencies, we're hearing about them more and more right now. Hurricanes and fires and earthquakes and floods, right? All of those are unexpected. God's response, or what God wants us to respond with, is trust in his provision. Yeah, they're unexpected and they're painful, but we embrace the unexpected knowing that God provides. In the same way that God provided the fish for Jonah, not knowing that it was going to be the provision of life for him, God will provide for you. It says, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. The amazing thing about these minor prophets, and I encourage you guys to go read them. One, because it's got fantastic truth peppered throughout it all that's pointing towards Jesus, this being one of them. But two, because you feel like you're getting somewhere in the Bible, too, right? Like I've read five books of the Bible over the last 5 weeks, and I feel like, wow, I've been in my word a lot because these books are short. So if you have a hard time getting into a Bible plan or reading the word, read the minor prophets. they are going to tell you and testify of Jesus. They're also going to point forward to his coming and give you a sense of satisfaction in reading your Bible and feeling like you're getting somewhere with it, right? It says, the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant, right? At the end of the story, when you read it, God provides this leafy plant. It covers him with shade, and he's very thankful for it. The part I didn't tell you, if you read it, is that a worm then comes and destroys that plant. An unexpected event. Where God says, why would you be angry about the destruction of the plant when the plant was given to you as provision in the first place? Then comes the end of the story in Jonah, where the plant's taken away, and it's almost left without an ending in the story. Jonah experiences this provision of the plant, and then he gets frustrated and angry because it's taken away, and then God kind of leaves it for it to be finished by us. Jonah tells the story of provision and unending mercy, unexpected events where God provides, and then he says, now you're going to experience those same kinds of things. How are you going to react to it? The next one is extending compassion for those that you might not like, that God forgives. I don't know if there's a place that you guys don't want to visit, a country, a town, a city. Normally when I throw this out there, I'm thinking of Oakland, right? How many of you guys want to go live in Oakland? Yeah? You're an A's fan, aren't you, Ed? Okay. Everybody in Oakland is moving to Las Vegas, right? The Raiders, the A's. Okay. If there's a people group that you feel uncomfortable talking to, maybe God's calling you to go there, right? Jonah despised the Ninevites. He didn't like their culture. He didn't like their people. But for some reason, God called Jonah to go to those people. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 6, you see what happens to this people when Jonah brings his words to them. This is what I want you guys to gather from this. Our words mean so much to people. If you speak something into someone's life, it can impact them forever. Telling someone that you see something in them brings hope, brings encouragement. Telling them that this needs to change, that if I were to speak a prophetic word to the church today, it would be return to your first love. We've gone so far from where we should be in loving God first, and abandoning all other things to follow what he has called us to do. Jonah goes and speaks this message of prophetic return, or else God is going to destroy you. That's not an easy word. But in it, he extends compassion. Jonah came in there thinking, I finally get to tell these people that God's going to destroy them. And he gets upset because he doesn't. He had such a disdain for this people that his words of destruction brought joy to him in the beginning. But when God said, I'm not going to destroy these people, Jonah was like, why not? Because God's extension of compassion and forgiveness is far greater than anything that we can think of people. Think of people. Think of someone that you think does not deserve Jesus, does not deserve to go to heaven. I don't know if you've ever tried to think of that. Murderers, pedophiles, rapists. They don't deserve to go to heaven, do they? Think about it. How big is God's grace? How big is God's compassion and mercy? God's love abounds for all. We might not be murderers, rapists, and pedophiles, but we definitely have sin in our life that makes us undeserving. God's love abounds for all. And I believe that the book of Jonah highlights God's love and concern for all people, regardless of their nationality or their background or the sins that they've committed. This message can prompt us to examine our own hearts, our own biases, our own prejudices, and actively seek unity and understanding with those that are different from ourselves. It reminds us that God's love knows no bounds and calls us to extend that love to all the people that we encounter in our lives. God doesn't show bias. God doesn't show prejudice. He loves all. Last part that I want you to gather from Jonah is to surrender. Surrender to God's will. Ultimately, Jonah surrendered to God's will. And he says in chapter 2, when he prays to God, he says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed, and I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." We are to surrender to God. Some of us have received a call from God that we are to go to certain places and to do certain things, but we haven't surrendered to that calling yet. I want to challenge us to take on the position of the king of Nineveh that says, "I'm hearing this voice from God. Tell me that I've got to turn from this way or else I will be destroyed. And the only way to receive salvation from this destruction is by surrendering to Christ." Salvation is not just this one time, like, I'm praying, God, come into my heart. Yes, that's the moment of salvation, but when you pray that prayer, your whole life should be changed. The old has gone and the new has come. Yes, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. But he also says, "Now take up your cross and follow me every day of your life." Take up your cross and follow me. We pray to receive salvation, but it doesn't stop there. And I think that is the fallacy of the church that we have taught in the evangelical church over the last 100 years, is that we pray this one prayer and you get over the line and you're good. Yes, there's truth in that, but that's not all that he wants. He wants complete surrender from us. Just like Jonah, just like Micah, just like Hosea, just like Obadiah, their entire lives become the message of Christ. Not just the testimony of salvation, but the entire life. And when we looked at Hosea, his wife was a part of the story. His children was a part of the story. The unfaithfulness of his wife was a part of the story. The naming of his children with Jonah, his running from the Lord was part of the story. His words to Nineveh were part of the story. His entire life was part of the story. Your entire life is part of the story. That when we testify and we say, "Yes, when I was 16, that's my story. When I was 16, I prayed to receive Jesus in my life. And he transformed me forever." And it started there. That when he said, "Yes, when I was looking under the stars in the sky," he said, "I know you by name. I knit you together in my mother's womb." I knew that in that moment, I was a new creation. That from this point forward, my calling was to testify of the goodness of God. And I would wake in the morning every morning to read the Bible and to pray, to seek God out, because every day is different. And as you're moving along your journey, God is continuing to speak to you. If you are listening, you will hear him. And he's going to direct your path in different ways. And your faithfulness and your obedience is what's going to determine how significant and impactful your life can be. When something unexpected happens, do you fall on God? When you're called to a people that you don't like, do you remain in his forgiveness and his faithfulness? And ultimately, do you take step by step to surrender to his word? Our lives are his story. And he wants to use you. He wants to use us. I believe he's calling us back to a full submission and a full obedience to God. If you would, I want to pray for us that we would surrender and give God even those little hard parts that we've been holding on to for so long, to say, God, I want my life to be fully submitted to you. Let's pray. God, I find myself like Jonah many times, wanting to run in the opposite direction that you're calling me to. There's been times when I've said, I'll go anywhere, God, that you call me. And I hesitate to take that first step. God, for some of us, I know you have called us to certain things in this life that we are hesitant and resistant to do. For some of us, it's talking to our neighbor next door, extending forgiveness, showing grace and love, being an example to Christ, to the neighbor that's annoying or hard to deal with. Maybe in that small step of obedience, God, you would lead us into the next step of reaching our entire street. Maybe it's the government. God, maybe we have struggled with decisions made by the government where we feel stuck. And you've called us to forgive or show mercy or show compassion or grace. Maybe it's at our job. God, I deal with people at my job all the time where I know you've called me to show love to those who are hard to love. God, there's times when you've called me to share my story of how you've saved me and I've been hesitant or fearful. God, I pray that right now each heart in this room would surrender to your voice and to your call. That today or tonight when we go to pray and we hear you and we listen for you, God, that you would speak loud and clear to our hearts, exactly where we need to hear it, of what you want us to do, and that in obedience we would surrender, because we know that your way is higher than our ways, your way is better than our ways. So I ask God for a powerful befalling of the Holy Spirit on our hearts, on our lives, on our families, that we would be a people that is distinguished by our obedience to Christ and his call, and your call in our lives. God, I pray that in that obedience we return songs of praise to you as we turn our hearts to you right now. I pray this in your name. Amen.